D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, joined as we are every Wednesday at 5 o'clock by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
What's up, guys? Good to be with you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. So we were just talking about Mike Sando's NFL quarterback tiers that he does every year at The Athletic. We were talking about it from the perspective of the AFC South, because Cam Ward is not on the tiers because he's a rookie, but we were looking at the other quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud tied for 9th, Trevor Lawrence 18th, we'll throw Daniel Jones in there, 30th. Most importantly, Anthony Richardson 32nd. The only quarterbacks better, the only quarterbacks that he is better than in these rankings, Anthony Richardson, Spencer Rattler, and Kenny Pickett. End of list. That's the those are the only two.
Wow.
So let's start here. One, do you think there is an opening for Cam Ward and the Titans to take advantage of the fact that other than C.J. Stroud, there are big question marks about the other starting quarterbacks in the AFC South? And two, there were some harsh words for Anthony Richardson from anonymous people that Mike Sando spoke to, including one, quote, "They are not ready to say they effed up," meaning the Colts, "but they are hedging." Another said, "The Anthony Richardson experiment is over." Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the locker room is going to tell us that. You know, the locker room told us that after he tapped out last year on that play. You know, it's I would answer the tier question of quarterback, Adam, by asking another question of how would we rank the coaches in the division? Because there's plenty of storylines there too. All young coaches, unproven, and a group of guys who are either known for quarterbacks or known for, you know, playing for an organization, playing for defense, and a leader of men like D'Amico Ryan. So I look at Brian Callahan, who's paired with the quarterback, Kaylee, who's the new OC in Houston. He's brought in, because, you know, the young OC, what was his name? Slowick, Bobby Slowick is no longer there. Couldn't cut it. And, you know, we've the other two, we're talking about Jacksonville and Indy. They're tied to their quarterbacks as well. The way they phrased that, was it anonymous source or not? I'm not sure. Said like it's they're already trying to hedge their bets.
Yes.
Well, they can't just ditch Anthony Richardson because they went all in. They stood on the table for him like 2 months before the draft. The Colts put out a video where, you know, they're talking about like, man, this guy's just special. They're rewinding all the tape and it was dated like January. So like they can't just ditch now and act like everything's fine, because they've been in survivor mode, especially up in the front office, for the last 3 or 4 years. And now with new ownership stake there, who knows what the viewpoint might be. I know the patience probably can't get better because it's been great for them so far.
Now, when you're looking at that, because it's been 3 years for Richardson. And it's gotten to a point where he's either been injured or he just hasn't performed. I understand you went all in for him, but we've seen – you know, teams go in all in on a quarterback, and after 2-3 years, they're like, we need to go into another direction. I feel that's what Indianapolis is sort of doing with Richardson. They didn't bring Daniel Jones there just to have him as a comfortable backup. They brought him in to push him and ultimately find out if he's going to be their starter or not. And it looks like, even before he got injured, it looks like he's still not their starter. So I'm not sure if they will stick with him after this season. Now, he may still be on the roster, bringing in another quarterback, I can't see that not happening.
Man, I mean, think about the pressure on the coaches too, Mace, just to get it done in Indy and Tennessee.
Yeah.
With their QB, you know, like if they're going to prove it in Indianapolis, the way to do it is through Anthony Richardson. And, you know, some people were saying in that draft, man, he needs 2 years of some time on the bench, you know, like 2 redshirt years before he's really going to be the guy that everyone thinks he's developed into. He barely played a lot of football Like he didn't have many starts, period, in high school, college combined. That, you know, it's the opposite of Cam Ward, of how many times you can actually turn on film and watch him play and progress. So, you know, they're just now starting to see that. And then it was derailed anyway by the injury with the shoulder and, you know, going through what they did last year where it just, you know, he's admitting in postgame, they were just tired. Like it just, that cannot happen for a team that's trying to build an identity through the guy. So, you know, it comes down to the coach, whether or not he has trust because he benched him last year. They bring in Daniel Jones, who's, you know, I mean, it's not like you don't placate to a guy like Anthony Richardson right now. That's a kick in the ass for him. You know, like it's a different competition this year than it was last year in that quarterback room. You know, when you mentioned it, and I agree that you signed Daniel Jones. It's a true quarterback competition. So the fact that we haven't heard glowing reviews, that's not a great sign. And it's certainly not a good sign when, you know, Richardson's getting, you know, can't get rid of the ball and his pinkies look pointing the opposite direction. I mean, we're sitting here talking about him. He's going to be injured at some point pretty soon anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's just how he is.
Yeah, eventually, I mean, outside of the, you know, the hand injury he has, you just know that if he comes back, he will end up getting hurt again.
That's his game, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's why you want a guy like that. I mean, he's built like Cam Newton, mm-hmm. but he plays like Baker Mayfield, going shoulder first into people.
Yeah, he's gonna have to learn if he ever does to play this position the way it needs to be played, and maybe he's so far behind that, you know, he doesn't even have a chance to catch up. At least not to be a starting quarterback. Let's say that. Let's get on the Titans. Yesterday's practice was not good, and it was echoed, you know, across these airwaves. Today's practice was a lot better. Is that what you, when you heard about yesterday's practice, were you expecting for the Titans to come out and have a better practice today?
I mean, yes, but I mean, honestly, Mace, with the way it was described listening yesterday, it couldn't get much worse. You know what I mean? Like, I was listening to various people that were attending practice. You know, they can only send out 90 seconds of video or audio or whatever it is, but they can speak on it. And, you know, the question was like, is there anything that that comes to mind? I think it was Nick Suss maybe this morning on the show on with Robbie and Rex Road. Just like, is there anything that comes to mind that's positive? You know, it's like the offensive line, but we really don't know in certain situations what would be a pressure, what wouldn't. When it's down to that, I mean, I commend the offensive line for, you know, not being a storyline. But offensively, defensively, whatever, when there's not really anything to point to that's like a shining moment of practice, that's pretty bad. Especially for a younger team that, you know, I just don't. They're either going to get behind the messaging of the coach and the culture that they're trying to build. They went away from the facility and didn't come back to Nashville, not because they felt it would be taxing. I think they wanted to get away as like a team building element to this. That's been the kind of the vibe all off season from Callahan. Whether or not you agree with how he's gone about it or not, That is an aspect of what he's doing. And I think that they're either going to buy in and solidify and gel more behind their quarterback and behind their coach, or they're just kind of going through the motions. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You pointed it out in the first practice that you saw with the energy level, just the, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't like loafing or, you know, just kind of cutting up and not trying. But it didn't feel like day one of camp. I think that's the way you described it. Mm-hmm. And then I went out there and we're standing next to each other. I'm like, man, I know what you mean now. And it's more about the trend of that to me, Mace, than it is one bad, awful practice where, I expect those to happen for a bad football team with a rookie quarterback and subpar NFL depth, like across the board. We saw that last weekend. There's a long way to go here. But you can still rally the troops, so to speak. And, you know, we've already got Jeffrey Simmons and Calvin Ridley chirping that they had a good day at practice. I mean, it's It's August. And here we go.
Now, which one? Because coming out of this first preseason game, I can say two things were evident in that at least we talked about on this show, and I think other shows on this station talked about it too somewhat. The offensive line, they play really well. In particular, Peter Skoronski.
Yes.
He looks like a different guy. But on the flip side of that, the secondary played awful. So which one you think is true to form? Is it the offensive line and the way they are playing now, or the secondary and the way they're playing?
Well, I think the secondary, because playing true to form, think it's the secondary, Mace, because the O-line right now to me is just meeting expectations that were there that they haven't met. There's a lot of high draft picks on that line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money on that line. So they're meeting the bar. That's the way I view it right now. This is what it's supposed to be, where if they're just adequate or average, they're not a storyline. You can't tell that they're going to be a bad unit in reps that don't really get after the quarterback. We could see that over the last couple of years, especially at the tackle position. Now, the secondary, this front office, variations of different people that make up this example, were starting to build this team through the secondary. They spent money on Awuzie and Snead, and those dudes aren't there now a year later. So now you're piecing things together already on that end of it. They don't have a pass rush, and it puts more pressure on the back end of your defense, where in theory you could develop some young talent, get after the quarterback in multiple ways, the way that Denard Wilson wants to run that defense, but you can't do it when you're running out players that would be the second or third corner, not the first and second corner. Does that make sense? Because the guys that they brought in initially, that was the solution for how they're going to defend on the edge and the perimeter, and then get after the quarterback with the group that they have. That to me has really answered the question that you posed, is that's more true to form, because Legarius Sneed's not out there.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton, and Hutt, your thoughts on the demeanor of Cam Ward, because he's clearly had ups and downs, and this was a big line of questioning today, not only to him but to the coach before the practice started, Brian Callahan. And Callahan has stressed that by design they're trying to make it tough on him, and that he does keep an even keel. He likes how he's handling the adversity. I kind of like what I'm hearing from Ward talking through these things, but tell me your impressions as he's at the podium going through this.
Man, I think that he's just he's born and bred to do this. You know, you can tell that he's had to work for things throughout his upbringing. Clearly, parents that raised him well. You can just tell. You know, you get that vibe through a personality. I'll also say, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if someone, you know, told him, you can pick up the leadership role now if you want to, because, you know, it's yours. You know, we'll address the team if you need to. You know, he's done that in the past, but you know, he's getting after kind of rallying the troops, so to speak, down in Atlanta. We were bound to see this. I'm not saying it's sooner rather than when I thought it would be Willie, but I love he's bought in. Like, he was bought in during the draft process the same way the Titans were bought in with him. The question would be, can he bring players along and elevate their play as he's clearly going to do himself? And the pressure situations, I would hope that every coach would do that with their young quarterback. This is the time to do that, right? Make your mistakes, correct them, and then see if the rookie makes the same mistake twice. He doesn't seem to do that very often, but you know, we're not in those meeting rooms. We're not in the planning sessions. What we do see is exactly what you're pointing out, and rave reviews for me on that. I have nothing but props to give him on everything I've heard since the moment he was drafted.
Now, he did say something today that was a little Diego Pavia-esque, and we're going to hit this in our next segment.
Okay,
because he said. I think we're going to have a top 10 offense, and something to the effect of, I love my wide receivers. They're one of the best in the league, which is we'll get the reaction that Diego Pavia gets when he told Paul Feinbaum that our goal is to win the national championship, right? There's just a lot of eyebrows raised. So what did you think of that?
I mean, I raised an eyebrow to it.
But I did as well. I raised two.
But at the same time, it's exactly, if I'm a fan of any team, it's exactly what I want my quarterback to say. Even though no one's truly buying it. Like, we know what they're trying to build and what they have and don't really have right now. It's Pavia saying they're going to win the national title. You know, like, people are pulling for him to do that. Vanderbilt needs a quarterback to say that and have that moxie and the bravado that he brings. Cam Ward is the guy that everyone's looking to provide the culture and energy and identity for this franchise. So if he's not going to say it, there's no one that's going to step to the podium and say anything and speak it into existence. I'm okay with that, even though I'm raising eyebrows going, okay, man, like, whatever. Because it's something that I know he wants to reach and obtain, but it's not something that anyone would dare bring up right now. He may feel that way about Calvin Ridley's relationship with Ridley, and that's about as far as it goes, as far as tops in the league on how well the communication is going.
All right, so here's one thing I just jotted down as you guys were talking about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because take Cam Ward out of it, but this is all in the context of what is Cam Ward going to be and the weight that he's carrying as the first pick in the draft. I just looked at the list. Since 2021, there have been 9 quarterbacks, not including Cam Ward, so 10 including Ward, that were used as one of the first 4 picks in the draft. Here they are. You've got 2 that I would say are check marks. Yes, this is working. Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud. Then you've got Trevor Lawrence that I think is in his own category of he's good, but he's certainly underwhelmed. Fair to say?
Yeah.
That's a check, but not a. Ooh, yeah. He's just not much there. You're hoping for more. Then you've got, in my opinion, 3 major question marks. Caleb Williams, major question marks right now, right?
Yes. Yeah. And
Bryce Young, major question marks right now.
Yes.
Obviously, Anthony Richardson, major question marks and almost in the X category of moving on. And then 2 that teams have moved on, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, right? So that batting average of the outcomes of the top 4 picks, you look at that and you say, what will Cam Ward be? When you're the first pick in the draft, the expectation's so high, but you can see where all this can go. So the roll of the dice of using a top pick on a quarterback, it just is not as a slam dunk as you would think and hope it's going to be.
Because the coaches don't last. Of this list, Willie, how many of those quarterbacks are on a different coach already?
Oh, Caleb almost Williams, so many. The majority of them, right?
And is Cam Ward headed on that path?
Well, that's a big question.
So if we know this team is not good,
Williams, Caleb Williams, Trevor already. Lawrence for sure.
Yes.
Bryce Young, that's 3. Yep. Zach Wilson had, Wilson was Zach Wilson. Trey Lance, I imagine, had different coaches. He never got it done anywhere. I left out Drake May, who is, I would say, still in the question mark, but looks good. Right,
and on another coach
on a second coach.
Yeah, so like you're in a position where you're in the NFL, you're welcome to the NFL moment, your rookie season, where everything they're trying to confuse you, like Callahan's doing right now with Ward, and then all of a sudden, new leadership comes in. So then the culture changes, the message is different. It's just a different vibe that I think is more of a shock to the system. And it does, halt your development some. That does play a factor. And if we're sitting here saying that the team's not going to be good, and this is a development year, they're another draft and free agency period away, like, let's clip everything that's being said in the month of August And remember what we're saying in December when Amy Adams Strunk fires Brian Callahan, because he can't do the three wins and everything's going to be fine. Like, he has to show that he can, he and his staff develop this roster that's not very good. That is huge for the success rate of the rookie quarterback that everyone's pretty sure has the factors and the makeup of what can be successful. I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be a good quarterback. Can he be great? I don't think necessarily that's the path that a great quarterback goes on, changing coaches right out of the gate when you're firing the coach that's known for developing QBs. I'm not saying I'm on board with everything Callahan's doing, but for the success of Cam Ward, I think it is crucial that we see this coaching staff click the way that we want to see Cam Ward click with the staff. It's not just on Ward. It's also on the coaches to prove that they're the right crew for the job. If not, we know the owner doesn't have much patience. This isn't Indianapolis.
Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D. Mace Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5:00. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I'll be listening to the next segment. I'm curious what you guys have to say about it.
What a teaser that is. Thank you, Hutton.
Yeah, later, guys.
615-737-1025. Okay, Willie mentioned it in a question to Hutton. We're going to talk about it next. Cam Ward said something this morning that has caused quite a stir, at least on social media, which, shocker, right? We will discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.